Programming sponsored by Charity Mobile. Life is calling. Take it with you. More information at charitymobile.com.
The church crisis that erupted and grew again over the summer is ultimately one of personal sin and lack of holiness. Issues of hierarchy and governance and transparency are institutional ones. Issues of the very priesthood itself are at core. I'm Sheila Logminas. It's time for a closer look. Welcome to the program. All we need to know of the priesthood we have learned from the life of Jesus Christ. In its fullness, as revealed in the gospel, the life of Christ is a study in the theology of ministry, and a perfect one, of course, upon which the apostles based all teaching and tradition and service. The sacrament of holy orders derives from that, and from them, the apostles, and it remains unchanged. Dr. Scott Hahn is here to explore and explain that, and there's a lot to explore and explain. He's the best-selling author of over 40 books. His most recent one is The First Society, I think it's the most recent, The First Society, The Sacrament of Matrimony, and The Restoration of the Social Order. He teaches at Franciscan University of Steubenville as the Father Michael Scanlon, Chair of Biblical Theology and New Evangelization there at Franciscan, and founder and president of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He's going to be one of the main presenters and speakers and organizers of an upcoming conference on the priesthood. Dr. Hahn, welcome back to the program. I'm so glad you're here on this very important topic.
It is great to be with you, Sheila.
It's wonderful to have you in. I was looking over the order of Melchizedek, holy orders, Dr. Hahn, and looking at, in the right order of things, what was that priesthood intended to be? You're certainly here as one of the preeminent scholars to explain that. Because, Dr. Hahn, is it not the case that we can trace priesthood from its first recorded manifestations all the way to the Old Testament through its changes in practice during the time of Moses, right, to the new covenant, as you teach so often, by Christ, the eternal high priest? So while times in breathtaking ways in some eras certainly change in nearly every sweeping way civilization can change them, the priesthood remains unchanged. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep. You know, you're referring, of course, to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, which speaks of Christ as being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And what the author of Hebrews is doing, clearly, is dividing up salvation history into three priestly periods. So you go back to the patriarchal period in Genesis, and Melchizedek appears in Genesis 14, and it's the first place where you find anybody being called a priest. In Hebrew, the word is Kohen. He's the king of Salem, but he's also the priest of God Most High. And to him, Abram pays his tithes, and from Melchizedek, Abram receives a sacrificial offering of what? Bread and wine. Now, why would you have a priest in Genesis? Because it's the patriarchal period. So who are the people building altars, offering sacrifices, saying prayers, and giving blessings? They're the patriarchs. They're the fathers, as well as their sons, especially the firstborn sons. Which is why the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 5, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, just as it says, you are my son, today I've begotten you. It's the father-son relationship that goes all the way back to the beginning. In the natural family, the patriarchs, of course, were mortal, and so when they died, the family was threatened with disunity. So who would reunite the family? Quite like the oldest brother, the firstborn son. And this goes all the way through the 50 chapters of Genesis. The patriarchal period is the patriarchal family, and it's a patriarchal priesthood until Israel. And so the second stage, according to the book of Hebrews, is the Levitical phase. And so after God redeems the firstborn sons within Israel and brings them out to Mount Sinai, he seals a covenant with them, which they promptly break in less than 40 days. And so when Israel worships the golden calf and Moses comes down and sees it, he cries out, "Who is on the Lord's side?" At which point you'd expect the fathers, and especially the firstborn sons, who had just been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, to respond in faithful obedience. But they're silent, conspicuously silent. Only the Levites respond, and up until that point, they were laity. But from that point on in Exodus 32, Moses says, today to his fellow Levites, you have ordained yourselves to be the priests. And so with the installation of the Levitical priesthood comes a judgment upon fathers and their firstborn sons. And for the rest of the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood is this interim arrangement. Until what? Well, until the New Covenant, when God, the Father, sends the divine firstborn to become a human, to not only restore the human family in its natural form, but to elevate us to share God's fatherhood and Christ's own divine sonship in a new covenant, which is still new 2,000 years later because it's a new and eternal family covenant. And so suddenly now you have celibate priests who are now becoming the breadwinners in the family of God. I'm a breadwinner in my natural family because I bring home the bacon and pay for the bread, but I can't confect the Eucharist. I can't give my kids the bread of life like the fathers of the new covenant can. And I also point out in some of my writings that in Judges 18 and 19, in the interim, it was kind of messy because you were still used to your fathers and firstborns. You have the story where a man named Micah approaches a Levite and says, will you be to me a father and a priest? And then in the next chapter of Judges 19, the people from the tribe of Dan approach this Levite and say, will you be to us a father and a priest? And you're wondering, well, why be a father and a priest? Because to be a father is not just a physical task, but a spiritual task. And to be a priest is not just a spiritual task, it's really spiritual fatherhood. It's discipline, it's government, it's inspiration, it's leadership, it's mercy and forgiveness. All the things that I have done with my six kids, now I see my kids doing with our 15 grandkids. And this is the model of the priesthood, which is why for the author of Hebrews, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek is a perfect match for you are my son, today I have begotten you, I am your father. And so we find something not abstract, but quite concrete and personal, interpersonal. The covenant is a family, but the family in the old was human, but the family in the new is divine. And so it's so appropriate for celibacy to be the principle, because that's how Jesus was, that's how Paul was, that's how St. Joseph was, and frankly, that's how God the Father is. There's no physicality or sexuality, but he's not less of a dad than I am. He is the only perfect father. And that is reproduced in the spiritual fatherhood of the priests of the new covenant. And this is the message that, to be honest, I have a fiery passion to share to our priests, like your son, Father Andrew, who is an amazing priest and a scholar, by the way, and congratulations on his remarkable defense of his dissertation in Rome last year.
Thank you, Jesus. You must be very
grateful and proud to our Lord. I've got two sons in the seminary, and so I am deeply invested in this as well. Jeremiah and Joseph are preparing to be priests for the Diocese of Steubenville, and they have heard this a lot, that just as I am a father, not 9 to 5, it isn't a job, it's a vocation, it's 24/7. And I think that this is what we have to show our priests, and not just to teach them in an exciting way, but to honor them as we've honored our fathers and mothers. And I'm convinced that right now, as Hosea 4 says, you know, as with parents and children, so with priests. If our families are falling apart, why are we surprised that we're facing a crisis in the priesthood? So we've got to work this tunnel from both ends and dig it up to clear it up so that we've got to really build strong families, and we've also got to build God's family by really encouraging young men to be holy priests and then encouraging our priests to grow in holiness. And you mentioned at the top of the hour, Sheila, that we have the St. Paul Center. We also have this conference in January. And frankly, I want to encourage all of our listeners, as lay people, to honor their fathers in the family of God by considering a kind of Christmas gift to scholarship them, because this conference that we're going to have is going to be in San Diego, La Jolla. Talk about a beautiful spot. In January, talk about a beautiful time. And in La Estancia, like the most gorgeous resort that the Napa Institute is allowing us at the St. Paul Center to use for 200 priests. And honestly, I do many different conferences throughout the year, but a priest conference is always like the Mount Everest of my year. It is the peak. It is the most exciting thing.
Well, there's so many questions, so many things to say, and as well as you, Dr. Hahn, I'm very different. You teach this. I sort of do over the airwaves through people like you in my own research and writing, but I, like you, have a fiery passion for the priesthood, and I always have. I've written about it, and then God has bestowed upon me the blessing and gift of my son in the priesthood. So there's just that, and growing up in that Catholic culture where the air you breathe is Catholic, so families would be very close to their pastors and invite them over for dinner, and you would just, you know, all the sacraments from birth to from baptisms to funerals and so forth, you would be that engaged with your priest. Not so much anymore, which is one of the things we want to get to. Another thing is, as you said, Dr. Scott Hahn, is, if you just tuned in, Dr. Scott Hahn is here. We're talking about the priesthood, which was a divinely appointed priesthood, established all the way from the Old Testament on through now. And it's unchanged, though everything else seems to be in civilization changing over eras. This is one thing that's unchanged. And Dr. Hahn is explaining that, also telling you, and I've got the link on my show page about the upcoming conference. As you said, Dr. Hahn, we can gift our priests. Many people can go together in their parishes, families can, to pool their resources and gift their pastor or priest there, and who's able to make this conference in January. Details on the show page, but it's roughly, just to give you the bottom line, is January 7th through 10th in California. But when you said, Dr. Hahn, that we need to teach and honor our priests, right now, as much as ever, or maybe more so, but as much as ever, but part of that is also helping them honor themselves, helping them honor, let's just say themselves, but honor holy orders, which each man took.
Right.
With that collar, he took holy orders, and he said those same words that every bishop says in holy orders. I love that. Know what you are doing. And I wish I should have had the forethought of putting it all in front of me right now, but know what you are doing is a very important part of this, because some
and
of them today,
celebrate.
There you are. And some on a high level don't seem to be doing exactly that right now. So this is what, Dr. Hahn, at core, getting us back to where we need to be and rightly ordering things again.
Exactly. You know, in my experience of 40 years of marriage, nothing has been more fulfilling in our marriage than parenthood. And for me as a man, fatherhood. And at the same time, I'd have to say nothing has been more frustrating. Nothing has made me feel more inadequate at times. And not just when they were teenagers, but when they were infants, when they were children, at every point. And we're so grateful and proud of them and our 15 grandkids with two on the way. But I tell you, you never stop parenting. And the reason I say it is because there really is a divine analogy for this in God's family. Because whether we're single or married, divorced or widowed, we're part of a family. We're part of a family where Christ is the bridegroom, where he's the image of the Father, where he is the high priest, but he confers upon certain men that he calls this amazing power. I mean, just who do men think they are? And who do we think our priests are, that these mortal men can transform earthly matter of bread and wine into Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity? Well, who do we think they are? We know they're priests. But why? Because the bishops laid hands on them, like you just mentioned. But who do we think the bishops are that they can transform mortal men into people who are capable of transforming earthly matter into Jesus himself? Well, it goes back to the apostles. But who are the apostles? What makes them so special? Well, Jesus did. And the Father sent his Son to impart the Spirit to enable them to do what would be humanly impossible, to make us members of a divine family. And I know for our priests it's frustrating, but it's fulfilling. So what we do in this conference, I've been teaching here at Steubenville for almost 30 years, but I've been teaching seminarians for 25 years in Rome, at St. Vincent's, at the Josephine, and most recently at the Mundelein Seminar in Chicago. But my one passion is to teach priests and future priests, fathers and fathers-to-be, because I am convinced that when lay people, I mean, you can have priests teaching priests, but they're always going to compare themselves to the presenters. We have four of the finest Bible teachers, John Bergsma, Michael Barber, my dear friend Tim Gray, and I are going to be giving these talks on the Bible. So it's going to be spiritual and intellectual, as well as physical and social refreshment, renewal, January 7th to 10th. And I know from experience, I just did it this summer, and this priest came to me on our fourth and final day and said, Scott, I've been a priest for 37 years, and this is the greatest week of my life as a priest, and I'm not the only one. I am speaking for everyone I've been speaking to. And I just said, you know, I could float home, Father, because that's what we live for. That's what we come to. You know, and this is why the St. Paul Center's principal priority is to really feed our priests the Word of God so that they are on fire to feed us the bread of life.
This is what we absolutely have to have within ourselves. It's one thing that to point, you know, point fingers. Well, they, the bishops, they, the cardinals, they, the priests, had better get their act together. They need to be investigated. They need to, the good ones need to help, you know, the ones who haven't been quite so good at practicing or doing their liturgy of the hours, which, by the way, at ordination, a man promises his bishop he'll do for good. And maybe it starts going downhill when that goes. But that's, but prayer, it's one thing that we do that. But Dr. Hahn, as you're saying, we need to be very good in our own holiness, our personal prayer life. We need to be good, and in our families, honor our priests. Help them have reverence for their own holy orders. Teach and honor our priests, you say. How do we teach our priests?
Well, as you just said, prayer is the key, because as St. Teresa of Avila points out, what breath is to the body, prayer is to the soul. And it's the Bible. I mean, if you don't pray, you spiritually asphyxiate. But it is the Bible as the Word of God that transforms prayer from a one-way monologue into a deepening dialogue, where you're not only sharing your heart with our Lord, but you're discovering how Christ longs to share his heart with us. He'll open up the Psalms and the Gospels and the Epistles as well. You see how the new is concealed in the old and how the old is revealed and fulfilled in the new. And suddenly you can relate to Clopas. Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened up the Scriptures? But then their eyes are open in the breaking of the Eucharistic bread. And to me, it is that climax where the priest has pronounced the words of consecration and done the humanly impossible. Christ makes up for what they lack, he gives them what they need, and he feeds us with himself. And so for us as lay people, gathering 200-plus priests, it is like one gigantic thank offering. From beginning to end, we want to say to over 200 priests, thank you, 1,000 thanks for what you have sacrificed, not only on the altar last Sunday, but at the day of your ordination, when you laid flat and that bishop then laid his hands upon you, and you became a father that was truly spiritual. I mean, apart from sexuality, and yet still with their bodies, they are participating in the mystery of divine fatherhood, which is so much more of a mystery than we realize. Mm. And so from stem to stern, from Monday through Thursday, what we want to say in 101 different ways to our priests, be holy, grow in grace, grow in knowledge, but listen to our hearts as we say thank you, and we try to fill you with fire, just as you have given to us the bread of life.
You know, so many people, Dr. Hahn, don't even have their priests over to their homes anymore in this modern age. We've got to start with that. We've got to start with building up our parish communities and being people who are communal. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I mean...
No, I don't want to interrupt you.
Cord. Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, I'm having dessert next Tuesday with my associate pastor, who's also a former student of mine back in seminary 12 years ago. But, I mean, to establish friendship with our priests and to really be open and honest and encouraging them, they put up with so much. They give up so much, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the least we can do is... You know, they say, oh, Scott Hahn's in the congregation. Like, believe you me, there is nobody less critical than me in your congregation. I am a beggar looking for scraps of bread, and I have never gone away disappointed. I'm not coming in as the critic. I'm coming in as the beggar, and I'm going out as a thankful beggar. So I just say to them, when you give to me, not just the homily, but the Eucharist, I mean, we go forth empowered to share the gospel in a way that we could never do on our own.
And so talk about that for a moment. My guest is Dr. Scott Hahn. If you just tuned in, you surely know his voice. He's here to explain the priesthood, the conference coming up in January that we want to point you to again. If you haven't heard about this, you just tuned in from coast to coast. Many of you are priests. Many of you, of course, others of you coast to coast have your parishes where you go for your sacraments. And whether you just leave and don't think too much about it, or you are more involved with your priests, invite them over to your homes. Bring them into your homes for a meal. Have them bless your home. That's an important thing as well. And A Priest Forever is the excellent name. A Priest is Psalm 110. And Dr. Hahn's been talking about that. A Priest Forever is the name of the conference, 2019 West Coast Priest Conference, taking place January 7th through 10th in California, in San Diego. Dr. Hahn, Dr. Timothy Gray, and who is it? Dr. John Bergsma.
Bergsma and Dr. Michael Barber.
Are going to be the presenters and the speakers at this amazing conference of about 200 priests. We want your priest there. I want my priest there. It's going to be a powerful 4 or 5 day gathering. And as Dr. Hans said, it's going to be spiritual, intellectual renewal, social. It's fellowship. It's what priests need. They need fraternal time together, right, Dr. Hans? The priests need fraternity. And these days, a parish is lucky to not be folded into another parish. And if they're still standing, they're lucky to have one priest at all, many of them. And so that priest is living alone very often, and they need the fraternity. But to that point, talk about what our people need to hear from you right now about the alter Christus nature of the priest. He is another Christ. When you are going into the confessional and you confess your sins, don't think, oh, Father's going to go, you know, look at me another way now that he heard my sins. You're confessing to Christ. He is there in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. And Dr. Hunt, I don't think that can be emphasized enough.
That's right. I mean, the book of Hebrews clarifies that Jesus is the only high priest, like Aaron. But Aaron had sons who also were ordained priests. And Christ has us as spiritual sons through baptism, but then he elevates those who are called to be priests of the new covenant and confers upon them this power to confect the Eucharist and to heal us of our sins, to forgive us and to heal us of the effects of sin. The priest is an alter Christus, not just in word but deed. He doesn't look out at us and say, this is his body. He doesn't look up and say, this is your body. He says, this is my body, because Christ has spoken through him. When a man becomes a priest, he gives his life, and along with that, his lungs, his lips, his everything to Jesus, so that Jesus can speak the words of consecration, so that Jesus can speak the words of absolution. Because we're not angels who can float to heaven and just see Jesus. We're humans, and so we need that human touch, that human connection. Jesus is the God-man. He takes what is ours, human nature, to give us what is his, and we call it the Eucharist. It's his body, blood, and soul, and his humanity, but it's also his divinity. And so these priests are basically saying yes to a calling, like your son Andrew, Father Andrew, like my sons Jeremiah and Joseph are formed and being trained for this. I said to Joe and Jared as they were getting ready to go back to Sacred Heart Seminar, you know, given the scandals, given the news, given the crisis, are you sure you want to go back? And they looked at each other and Joe said, Dad, we have never needed holy priests as much as we do now. Pray for us that that's what we'll become. And I'm like, every day, morning, noon, and night, I'm praying for you sons, but also for your classmates and others as well. So I do want to say to our listeners, go to the St. Paul Center website. It's simply stpaulcenter.com, and saint is abbreviated, ST. So stpaulcenter.com, click on events, and you'll see the 2019 West Coast Priest Conference. It's entitled A Priest Forever, straight from the book of Hebrews, Christ and the New Testament Priesthood. And you're going to see that for our priests, after Christmas, after Advent and Christmas and New Year's, they need a break. So holy hours, confession, mm-hmm. private prayer, daily mass. It's just beautiful saltwater pool, whirlpool, beautiful grounds in La Jolla, California. And they're going to come back renewed spiritually and intellectually, refreshed and encouraged, because that is the least we can do for these spiritual fathers who sacrifice so much for us.
We have to understand, and once people get this in their minds, and then it goes into their hearts, Dr. Hahn, I believe we can really fire up a lot of people with the zeal for the Holy Priesthood. Again, and it's called the Holy Priesthood because it is. It's divinely ordained. It comes from God. It is unchanged. Whatever else changes in the world throughout time, throughout history, the priesthood has not changed. Dr. Hahn, one last thing to leave our listeners with. They may be on the commute right now, coast to coast, driving home in their cars, and they may... It's one thing to wonder, who is this Melchizedek and why does he matter? And you've just done a lot of explaining why he mattered. But this is divinely ordained. It can't change. What we need to do is, as you said earlier, teach and honor our priests. The thought to leave it with everybody besides everything we've said, have them into your home, be involved with them, have them bless your home, interact with them, help them get to this conference. Dr. Hahn, I just posted the St. Paul Center's page for the West Coast Priest Conference to add to the other links I've put to it. But the takeaway thought for people to go and to say this weekend, even when they encounter their priests again, if not before, about their priests.
I would say pray for them first and foremost, and then thank them. Look for the good. As Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, if there's anything good, anything true, anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Because that's how we want God to treat us, and so we ought to turn around and treat God's representatives the same way. You can always find fault. You can always justify criticism. And if we can with them, believe me, God can with us. But if he extends mercy to us and just overcomes us, so we've got to really thank and affirm our priests.
Amen. Dr. Scott Hahn, at the Authentic Reform Conference, you and I both attended in Washington, D.C. I listened to you and others that day. I came away with the powerful idea that what I have to do now is talk more about Jesus Christ. And that's what this is about, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Dr. Scott Hahn, thank you so much.
I love being with you, Sheila, every time. Thank you so much.
God bless you. We're going to continue talking about this. I'll be right back.